Blog Talk Radio.
Good. Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Scary Cast. Sure is.
Getting some kind of feedback.
Yeah, I thought I'd spring the new theme music on everybody. This is Dr. John, and welcome live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world. And it was beautiful today. So glad to have everybody. We've got an extremely special ScaryCast Tuesday. First of all, I want to introduce our co-hosts from Ewing, Virginia. We're not sure where it is, but we know it's up in the mountains. Matt Delf, how are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you here. And from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. Kyler, how are you doing tonight?
I'm a little shocked by the intro because that was badass. I don't know if you meant to do that, but that was awesome.
Jabba Joe is a fairly famous composer. And I commissioned him to do that music, and I think it sounds pretty good. I can't wait to see what it's going to sound like when I re-listen to the podcast. I want to make sure the fidelity is good. But yeah, everybody got the new ScaryCast music, and we're glad. Thank you, Robin. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got one announcement to make. It's a personal reflection, and then I'm going to introduce our two guests who are absolutely spectacular, and they really are on ScaryCast Tuesday. First of all, I wanted to say I am a huge fan of that old soap opera, Dark Shadows. Now, many people may not remember it, but I know that when I was in junior high, we used to call it junior high. We didn't know what middle school was. When I was in junior high, we all rushed home at 3:30 so that we could see Barnabas, Angelique, Dr. Julia Hoffman, Joan Bennett as, you know, Catherine Stoddard. It was just incredible. We all loved it. And so I've become a member of about 20 Dark Shadows groups on Facebook. And what I can tell you is they played 31 episodes of Dark Shadows. And last night at midnight, it really wasn't Halloween, but it was just Halloween. Right after Halloween. We were treated to the 1245th episode of Dark Shadows, the last one. And for my money, that is one of the most incredible 30 minutes of television. And if you have a chance to watch it, if you've got 28 minutes, find the episode 145 of Dark Shadows, starring the great Jonathan Freed as Barnabas Collins, the vampire. And just know that it won't be long until you'll be able to read Barnabas's Ghost. I'm going to unveil that when we have on November 14th. We're going to have Dacre Stoker on ScaryCast Monday. Going to be one of the highlights of my life, I'll tell you that, the grandnephew of Bram Stoker, who wrote Dracula. And I'll tell you one other thing about vampires. I saw the first half of the Dracula series on Netflix, and it was terrifying. That is the scariest I've ever been. I'm going to tell more about it next week on Monday Night ScaryCast when our guest will be the one and only Sonya Thompson from The Walking Dead. And we love Sonya. And I think, Robin, you were on one of our episodes when we had her. So anyway, looking forward to
with
Sonya's everybody.
Sonya's awesome. She's incredible.
She is great.
I've met her twice at your conferences. I just love her.
She's wonderful. So now, tonight, a very special ScaryCast Tuesday. First of all, I will introduce the queen of ScaryCast, Monday night. She is a dear friend. She is an accomplished, okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. She's an accomplished remote viewer, and she's an accomplished psychic. And there I said it, and you can yell at me after the show. But she's also one of the best and kindest friends I have ever had, and I cannot say enough good things about her. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Robin Haynes McCray from the Midlands of South Carolina. Hey, dear, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, John. You're so sweet. I just love you. It goes both ways.
We adore you. We just love you. We think you're great, and we're just so glad to have you. And then tonight, a repeat guest. He was on last week's ScaryCast Tuesday. He was so good. He mentioned, he said he'd love to talk to Robin McCray. Well, buddy, I made sure it happened. His name is Barry Littlejohn. He is from Wichita, Kansas, which is the home of one of my favorite songs, The Wichita Lineman, by Glenn Campbell. And the best version is Glenn Campbell and the Stone Temple Pilots. So check it out on YouTube. But ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you for the second week in a row, Barry Littlejohn. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. It's Little 10. T-O-N.
we're really glad to have you.
I'm very honored, so thank you.
And you said, by the way, I want to say our mutual friend Jessica Jones says hello.
Oh, greetings. Hello, Jessica. Big fan.
Yeah, I'm going to be on her show. I'm going to be on her show tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just crazy times here at ScaryCast. All right, well now, Robin and Barry, I wanted the two of you to talk. So, Barry, I would like for you to ask the first question to Robin, then the two of you talk, and then Matt, Kyler, and I will kind of fill in. So, Barry, the floor is open.
Okay. Wow, that's a good way to start it off. Okay.
No pressure, huh, Barry?
just a little bit, you know. I get stuck on the
ground.
I'm getting
nervous anxiety.
We're all friends here.
First, say it's a pleasure to talk to you. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much.
And I respect the gift that you have. And, you know, I'm very interesting in what you really – I resonate a lot with you is the telecommunication and the telethought that you get from the species itself.
Thank you.
And so I really respect that. You know, something happened to me and I can't exactly explain it all, but all these weird things have always happened to me my whole life. These what I call paranormal, and it leads me into this lifelike quest for knowledge.
Well, have you ever seen, when you've been out, whenever you've been out, have you ever seen a very, very light colored, it's not white, almost like a buff color of something moving around? Because he said he's watched you.
Yes. Oh, at the location probably he's discussing.
He's like a buff color. Yeah, because he just came forward and he said to tell him how. He said, I'm the one that watches you.
That's not creepy at all.
Wow. this is direct, so I will ask. Okay, so, wow, this goes heavy quick. That's great.
It was him. He came forward. I didn't.
you said he's a fossil colors and a type of albino or white?
No, he's not white. He's almost like an off-white, but he's very light in color. People seem to get misidentification, but there are some that are albinos, just like we have people that are albinos, but at the same time, there is a tremendous amount of them that are just white, not from old age, although they do turn gray and eventually white from old age, but their hair is actually just pure white. They have the black eyes. They don't have the pigmentation of an albino. I have one that I'm excessively close to that is like that. His skin color is Caucasian, just like, you know, mine is. But he's not an albino. You know, when you have the albinos, you have the red eyes and you have that pigmentation that goes along with albinism. And they're not all like that. This particular one, he seems to have a little bit more of a conial head, although his head is not real tall. It's a shorter head, but he does have a little bit of the cone. Very shaggy hair, a little bit longer than some of the other ones. But he's almost like a cream color. He's not completely white. Yeah. It's like an off-white. And you don't see a lot of that particular color. You see beige. You see like a sand color. You see the white. This is a little bit lighter than that. This is almost white, but not white.
Okay. So this is the name he gave me during communication is Elder. Is that who you're referring to here?
His name is Elder?
That's what he gave me.
Or is he an elder one in the clan?
He gave me the name that I could refer to him as Elder. That's what he gave
okay,
me
so
before
that,
he put.
Yeah.
Or is that another one? Or is that another one? This individual.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, with this individual, I'll tell you how the experience went down, okay? I was invited to speak in 2016 at this very odd place called the Aseti Ranch in Washington, right off Mount Adams. And I was, to be honest with you, I won't lie at all. I was unprepared, Robin, for I like your name, by the way, that's my sister's name. But I was unprepared for how remote that place truly was. I'd never been to that part of the United States. And, you know, I felt like immediately I was being watched when I got to the gate. But interestingly
yeah.
enough, I'd say about a week before going, if not even a little more than that, a week and a half, I became just obsessed with looking at things about albino, white, lighter-colored Sasquatch on
yeah.
the Internet. I mean, that was everything from Thinker Thucker to MK Davis. Oh, I was on it. You know, and I didn't recognize
yeah.
that as a type of communication, not telethought. That's not what I've got from extraterrestrials and
is.
Other non-physical. You know, and I recognize now it was that. So I can appreciate that how much he knew the future, too. He knew I was coming. All three times. I went and spoke there three times. And I believe I interacted with several different ones that didn't show themselves to me, but they did things. Rocks on my doorstep. I interacted with one that was no less than a shapeshifter. It came to me as a squirrel when it appeared itself to me. And it was one of those events that really stops your world. And I'm not a young man, so I thought I was past a point in my life where I would have these events that just stop my world. And that was one of them. Each one of the interactions with them very definitely touched my life. So there were several of them I believe that I interacted with when I was out there. But the main one was this one that came through and had the name they'd given me was Elder, and saying that really it's illegal by their law to be seen by us. And then
yeah.
telling me that he doesn't have a limb and putting in my mind the biggest descriptions of, you know, and it was a cream-colored Sasquatch doing a backflip. Like David
mm-hmm.
Lee Roth in that movie, or
yeah.
that song Jump. Remember that song 1984 Jump with Van Halen? At the
yeah.
end of that video, David Lee Roth does a backflip for no reason at all. This is what is in my mind.
According to him, his real name is DeHander, which is what he would spell it DeHander. The term elder can mean a couple of things, okay? Number one, and I don't have any idea what your age is, but they will refer, as we get older, they refer to us as elders. And a lot of people think that means that they are calling our people the elder of their clan. That's not it at all. It's instead of saying, hey, you're old, they say elder, okay? The other thing is DeHander said that he works and assists with the elders in his clan because he will train to eventually become an elder. So if he's referring to the elders in his clan, yeah, he works with the elders. He will become an elder. He is not one yet. He said he's just training, which I don't know how you're training for, but that's what he's saying. But anyway, he said his true given name is DeHander. But that's just what he's saying.
Okay.
He said he works and assists the elders. He said they are training him for what will be in his future.
So would he be the Alpha Elder?
Not necessarily. I mean, everybody calls them the alphas, but the thing of it is they're a type of people. Like when you think of alphas, you're thinking of an animal. You're thinking, you know, like a pack animal or whatever, you know. But again, it just depends on, everybody calls them different things. You know, when you're looking into alpha, you're looking at something that is at the top of the clan. He's not, he is, I ask him right now if he's a clan leader or not. He said, no, I am not the leader, but I am close to the leader. He will go from being who he is to a leader to an elder. And he said he has been being trained for this since a young boy. So it must be, you know, possibly in the bloodlines or whatever that, you know, he just moves up the chain of command.
Okay,
but he said he does play an important part in the clan.
You know, he felt to me, his energy felt like shamanistic shaman to me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think he's got, you know, they all have paranormal abilities, depending on the clan is whether or not they're allowed to use them or even know them. If they aren't told as children that they have these abilities, they don't know they do. They all can mind speak, but they don't always know they can do other things. They don't always, you know, if they're not told they can mind speak, they don't know they can. If they're not told they can cloak, unless they get upset to the point where it raises the energy and the vibration naturally and they just automatically cloak, they don't even know they can do that. They don't know they can levitate. They don't know they can open and close portals. They don't know they can do a lot of things unless they're taught by the parents, and not all clans allow it. It's just like we have Amish people. Some of our Amish sectors don't allow, you know, automobiles or electricity. Other sectors of Amish will allow, you know, vehicles, but they don't allow electricity. Or they, you know, they each have their own little sector, has different rules. And it's very similar to what they do as far as for the forest people.
Oh, I understand.
He says you are elder too. So he considers you an elder as well.
Oh, okay. Is that why he was so much interacting with me? And that's very odd,
yeah.
You know. And for me, every 7 years, something, and this is something when I first they come forward, that's my, you know, general information, is that there's something I call charters. And as a lifetime contactee, meaning I've had contacts at a very young age, every 7 years, one of these humanoids comes, and somebody that approaches you, like at a library or an airport, a public place, somebody that comes up to you and says something just profound that touches your soul and your consciousness and kind of spurs you forward, and they just disappear back into the crowd. But this
yeah,
is what I call charters. And when I first talked about that, the amount of people came forward about that. But for me, this would have been my 42nd year. It was a 7 year that I think he was also a type of
no,
charter.
No, I agree with
well.
You. I completely agree with you. And, you know, what I was taught by them, they try every so many years. You know, it's not like everybody says, well, if they want us to know they exist, what does that mean? They're going to come up and talk to us? And that doesn't mean anything like that at all. What it means is they're tired of living their lives in fear. They're tired of being afraid for their families because they're going to get shot at or hunted or harassed. They just want to live their lives. If there are ones that want to interact, that's one thing. Some clans will tolerate it. Some clans won't. But they want to be able to live their lives. They're not asking for special treatment. They're not asking for anything other than to just be left alone to live their lives. You know, and if communication comes between certain people and them, that's fine. But, again, it depends on the group. And so what they've done is, and this has gone on since I was a toddler, I've watched this over and over again, and the older I got, the more prominent it got, where it was more noticeable and noticeable for not just myself but other people as well, is they make another valiant attempt to try to get people to understand what they are.
Yeah.
And they've called on me on and off for years to do this. Now, I had went quiet. I blended into the woodwork. I stayed out in the woods with them almost 24/7. I was either with my kids or I was with the Bigfoot and the Dogmen. And I associate with anybody in the Bigfoot world. I did my own thing until I met Igor Borstev. I met John because he was going to have Igor at a conference. And he didn't even know it. Igor wanted me to get hold of John for him. So I did, and then John and I started talking, and he's like, wow, you know stuff. And I'm like, I do okay. So then John wanted me to do a conference, and I had just walked away from it. I had done a conference in Russia eons ago, and I was not going to do any more. But they came to me, the Foots came to me, and they said, listen, we have to try again. And I had tried previously when Melba Ketchum put out the DNA paper. I didn't know Melba either. They were the ones that told me to find her. They were the ones that said she knows the truth about us. We have to be proven that, you know, we're not an animal. We're like you, only mm-hmm. different. And I went out then. So what my point is they keep making these overtures every so many years. And the other cryptids will do that as well. The elementals, the dimensionals, everything. You know, the ETs, they are on and off. I mean, they're just getting out of control at this point. But the good ones are, there are some that are extremely good. But they do exactly what you're describing. Okay? In your case, it might be every 7 years. Everybody's case is a little bit different on that time frame, depending on what's required of them and how fast the groups that are working with you and on you want to move you along. So when you're talking about this every 7 years,
huh? So this would be more connected to extraterrestrial contact.
Yeah.
On that level.
Oh, yeah. They don't. It's like you're tagged as a baby.
Yeah.
And they're with you for life. They don't leave. Like, my first memory of my first abduction, I was 4 years old. And when I was on the ship, I remember absolutely everything about my time on the ship, down to the glyphs that they had on the wall, what these little buttons looked like they had, everything, to the machines they had in there. And they even told me that wasn't my first time. I had been there several times before then. I was only 4 years old. My last abduction, I've been abducted on and off my whole life. My last abduction was this past May. You know,
and you classify these as hostile abductions, not experiences?
Not all of them, no. No. There are some, yes, absolutely. I don't remember them hurting me physically. The ones that have been really hostile were ones when they've actually tried to kill me, but that had nothing to do with the DNA they were taking. That has to do with trying to stop me from some other work that I do. And they did try. I've had several attempts that way. I've had very good encounters with some. I've had not been unkind. They simply wanted my DNA. You know, the one in May I had, that was more traumatic for me, but they never physically hurt me. That was more an emotional thing that they had done. But as far as physical, no. They didn't hurt me at that time. So I've had both good and bad encounters. I had one encounter, and then the Nordics stepped in as well. You know, they seemed to be quite kind. You know, various ones. I mean, they're not all the same group. So, I mean, you can get good and bad. But when you talk about, you know, this has happened to you every 7 years, that makes 100% sense to me. It really does. They, you know, they keep trying. And where the cryptids, you know, they want people to realize what they are. The ETs, depending on which faction you're dealing with, all have different agendas. The Zetas and the Greys, there's simply reproductive issues that are going on with that one. You've got other ones that they all have different needs and wants. You know, like I said, just because something is extraterrestrial does not mean it's bad. There, you know, I want to say I've probably had 5 encounters that were absolutely beyond terrifying. But I've had 3 times as many that were either, you know, not a big deal. I wasn't frightened. I wasn't excited. It was all right. They were kind to me. Or, you know, I woke up with the handprints on me and the triangular shape marks all over my body. Or, you know, like in May when I woke up, my clothes had been taken off and put on inside out. And, you know, I mean, just crazy stuff. You know, I've had them come up and look in the windows. I have pictures. And John's seen them. I have pictures of some laying out in the bushes in my yard. I have pictures of a couple of them standing in my backyard. Those aren't quite as clear. I have pictures of portals with heads coming out of it in my yard. You know, I mean,
sounds like you've got a lot of hostile species there. Yeah.
Well, you know, not all of them are bad. That's the whole thing. Like, I would like to say it's that cut and dry. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. With everything, the cosmic balance is there's good and bad. And you really and truly would rather have that, because if you have something that's like with Draco's, I've already gone through the attack from the Draco's. I almost died from it. I ended up in intensive care. And Draco's are the worst of the worst. Okay.
Have you encountered one of them physically, or was this astral? Have you physically been in the presence of one of these beings?
I have physically been in the presence of them where I woke up and they were standing at the end of my bed. Yes. That's happened several times. The Draco's, no. The Draco's, it was a matter of my husband, mind speaks, and he's brilliant at it. And he overheard them. And then everything they said they were going to do to me actually did happen very, very quickly thereafter. And I almost died.
Yeah, hey, Robin, this is Dr. John. I have to jump in with a mind speak statement that your husband, Pat, said to me. I said, because it was one night we were talking on the phone. Do you mind if I share this?
No, go ahead.
It's kind of funny. I said, Pat, I want you to contact Andy Warhol and tell him I love his artwork, but he should do some things now to make himself more relevant and more popular. And you know what he said that Andy Warhol told him?
Huh.
He said, that sounds like something John would say, and that is not something that your husband would have ever said to me.
No.
I've
and the thing about Pat, other than Pat, there's only one other person on this planet that I can honestly say, if they tell you they heard it through mind speak, take it to the bank and cash the check, because they're that on target. And him and my friend and myself, we basically work for the Bigfoots and the other cryptids, and not just the Bigfoots, we work with all cryptids, but we verify with each other, because some of the stuff we do is kind of dicey and we want to make sure it's accurate. And then I do healing work on all of them as well. And so we want to make sure that it's accurate. And so we verify it to make sure we've got it right. Those two are brilliant. Like, those are the only two people I can honestly say that when they're telling me their mind speaking, I don't even, you know, of course I pick up energy so I can tell if it's right or not anyway, but I don't ever have to worry about it. I mean, so if he says that that's what Andy Warhol said, you take it to the bank.
Well, it's funny because that is not something Pat would have ever said to me. That is something that a dude named Andy Warhol would have said in kind of a nasty but funny way. So it was great. And your husband, we had that night, we had this conversation about several people. But it was so funny, and I felt like Andy Warhol was, because he knows I've got his book called Popism. I mean, I think he's a genius. I think he's weird, but I think he's a genius. But it was just so funny.
Yeah.
It just made a lot of sense what mm-hmm. Pat said. In fact, I need to call Pat. We probably need to contact Andy again, and I need to send some comments back to Andy.
But not all of these things are bad, but they're not all good. And when you have something that's 100% good, it sets off the cosmic balance, and not in a good way. Okay? Because for everything to be that perfect all the time, there's consequences, and that comes into play. Whereas if everything is all bad, that it's lethal for everybody involved. So you have to have that balance. There are good ETs out there. They've actually helped us. I mean, we have used nuclear weapons for decades, and the few times that we could have killed ourselves, it was because of them that we didn't. So while there is a great many of them are negative and dangerous, there is also many that are good. I got connected over a year ago. It's been a year, maybe almost 2 years now. My gosh, it's been a while, by a group, and they wanted me to know how the bad ones take possession of people, because people needed to be warned. And they actually got hold of me through someone that has ET experiences. He has his whole life, and they were harassing him and had been. And I was able to put a stop to it, but I was the only one he ever really talked to about it. And then he was abducted, and he contacted me. He's like, it's been years ever since you got rid of them. Now, you know, he said, but this was a different kind. These were nothing, I felt nothing but love, nothing but compassion. It was a great experience, but they said to give you a message. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, he said, this is what they said that you're supposed to tell people about it. And I said, nobody will listen to me. Okay. Nobody is going to care what I have to say. And they said that they knew that, you know, that would happen, but I was supposed to tell everybody anyway. But they wanted to warn people because they wanted to protect people from what is being done. So there really and truly are good ones out there. And Barry, I think this every 7 years with you, it's just all part of your awakening. You know, everybody goes through it.
I don't mean this in a bad way, but I think I'm on a little bit different level of contactee than you might think. I'm not, been having experiences my whole life, and they were physical, and I've dealt, and they've all been, I'm sorry to say, mine were all mostly positive, and the beings I dealt with were also universal in that way. And it takes us into the element of how much of these craft that people are going on board are actually alive and organic and actually sentient. Whereas space organisms also, and also the construction of space itself and what black holes really are as the hard drives of the universe.
I would love to talk to you about that.
I want to gravitate this back if we could, though, because I had a couple of questions because I really want to, because you're so in connection with the Sasquatch that, So did you, have you ever met this, this gentleman, because I'm pretty sure he's the one that first turned me on to the work you were doing, and that's been years ago at actually the Ascendi Ranch, but his name was Tom Powell. Do you know him?
Do you know what? Here's the thing with Tom Powell. I have never personally met Tom Powell. I know of Tom Powell. I had a book that Tom Powell, like a manuscript that he had done, and the first time I ever went to Salt Fork, he was supposed to be there, and he was not, and they were auctioning it off, and it was like a manuscript, and I had it. But I know of him. And I think at one time, if he was on Facebook, I think he commented on a post, but that was a very long time ago. So I'm not even sure that was Tom Powell, but I know who he is, yes.
Okay, so I wound up meeting him because I went to this ranch. I spoke in 2016. Then I got invited back to speak again the following year at their yearly conference. And I meet this gentleman. He's standing next to me in the line. He's really outgoing. We wind up just talking for hours, you know. And he gave me – I told him about what happened. Okay, I had this rock that was put on my doorstep at the end of the conference in 2016. And it was done in a way that it definitely caught my attention, and it was a definite communication, and just everything that the Sasquatch had even heard, I guess DeHonder had done with me before we had the mind speak together was quite phenomenal. But the next year I meet this guy, Tom. He tells me to he makes a face in this huge leaf and says, put it on your porch where that was last year, where that rock was, and tell me if anything happens. And remember that you're dealing with beings that are so observant of every minuscule of their environment. They'll sometimes change something very small to see if you have the heightened awareness to acknowledge it and catch it. So I put this blasted leaf on my patio for days. Nothing seems to happen. I crumple it up, let it blow away. Then I have this interaction with this squirrel. And there were these rock structures leading to the back of this yurt that I was staying in that lured me back there, okay? And when I say that, we're talking about small river stones, like the skipping, jammed down into the dirt with like a pine cone point against it. And little things, they were very small, but they lured me back there. And I had this interaction with this squirrel. And instead of going into what actually happened there, I've got a channel on my YouTube, a video on my YouTube channel, anyone look at that. But I want to know, bottom line, what and who was that?
Well,
and how does this factor, paranormal-wise, factor into their
completely paranormal
abilities? Yeah.
Yeah, ton of it. Okay, number one, I want to start out by saying that there is a reason that you have this activity with them, not only through the ETs, but you do have a connection with them, okay? And it has to do, a lot of people are being called on right now. I more now than I've ever in my lifetime have seen it, and I'm working with a ton of people. I'm not the only one that's working with people, by the way. I'm just one of many. There's a lot going on, and that, I mean, we can talk about that later privately, but you come into play with that. But the other thing is these people, okay, we know that the human side is on the mother's side, the father's side. According to them, not according to Melba's paper, it's listed as unknown because she has no access to ET DNA, but according to them, the father's side comes from star people, okay? That's where all these paranormal abilities come into. Again, depending on the clan is what they're allowed to use. The other thing is they do know how to shapeshift, 100%. And I really struggled with that because it was like I knew they did and they told me they did. And I would see them after they had shifted, you know, so I'd see them in one way and then 2 minutes later they looked something else. And yet I knew when looking in their eyes it was them. But it took me actually physically watching them shapeshift for me to say, fine, I give.
Oh,
I got it.
You know, lesson, what was that like?
Yeah, lesson learned. It was unique. It started out with probably a 12-footer coming into my yard, and it looked like a deer the size of an elk or a small moose. And it came up to the bushes along my property and went up on its hind legs like it was going to try to eat some of the branches from the pine trees. And instead, the front legs would reach out and grab the branches. Okay? And I had security cameras in the front of my house, not for them, but because I actually do like to watch the deer and the wildlife because I live out in the woods. And so I wasn't even at the window. I was sitting, well, I was wide awake. I mean, it wasn't like I was asleep. I was wide awake looking on the camera because I knew what time the deer came in every night. And instead, this thing came in instead of the deer that normally came in. And I'm watching him on this, and he's reaching his what looked like a front leg and hoof, and it's reaching up and it's grabbing, you know, brush out of this tree. And then it walked on its hind legs along the tree line up to my garage and then over to my front porch. And then as it got to my front porch, it went from this huge, like, deer elk size thing and shifted down into a Sasquatch. And he stood there, he looked around, he went up two steps on my porch, sat on the step. And then I had in the middle of my yard, I had the spot where I used to put birdseed down because at that time we just had a ton of cardinals. And he took two steps off the porch and then he squatted down. And you know, like when you're kids, you walk like a duck on the back of your calves,
mm-hmm.
you know, just for fun and you're waddling. And he did that all the way up to where the birdseed was, and he sat there with his hand picking up the birdseed and cramming it in his mouth and everything. And then as he started to stand up, he shape-shifted down into a raccoon. Now, this whole thing took like 25 to 35 minutes. I mean, it was not – I mean, I'm watching this the whole time. I even had somebody else that was at the house get on, you know, because the camera was set up to look at it online. We have a link to Zomoto where you can go into your own account and look at it. And I had somebody else in the house look at it as well because I'm like, I'm just not seeing what I'm seeing. I can't be. And it went down into a raccoon and then it simply ran off. And we've had that now happen several times. So, and I've actually looked out in the backyard and I saw one that was walking across the backyard and then just shapeshift down. And it went from a being that was probably 8 foot tall, covered in black hair, and it morphed down into a black dog. And it wasn't just because it was on all fours. It all of a sudden went from no tail to a tail and ears. And
How long did that transformation take?
It doesn't take long. Like, I would say seconds. I mean, it's not like it takes any great deal of time. It truly doesn't. And I know what it sounds incredible. I get it. You know, I've over the last 4 years since I met John, and after I met him, I started doing his conferences and things. And when the Bigfoots came to me and said, listen, we need you out there now. You have to tell people what we are. I just got over the whether or not people were going to think I'm nuts. I just assume everybody thinks I'm nuts, and I go on about my business, and I just tell the truth. I can't change the truth. It is what it is. I can't put it in a pretty box to make it easier. You know, I mean.
I don't doubt it at all because something happened to me, and I experienced this thing, and so it doesn't sound, you know, preposterous to me at all. And I had to simply expect,
yeah,
you know,
think,
every time something paranormal happens to me, I feel brand new anyway. But
yeah, no, you have to get to the point, Barry, where you just learn you have to trust yourself. And
yeah.
And there's times, I'm going to be honest, there's times Pat and I will watch something happen and look at each other and go, okay, like you saw it too, so I'm not having some type of a breakdown, right? I mean, really, because this stuff goes on here almost on a daily basis. John can contest that. And so there's all these crazy, bizarre things that are going on, and we're constantly going, okay, who did what? You know, why did you do this, or who needs this, or who needs that? And but it does, and you have to, you over time you get to the point where you have more faith in your abilities, and you do have abilities, my dear. You have a lot of them that have not surfaced or that are trying to surface, and you're trying to figure out if they are or if they aren't, and you already have some that you know you have. Your mind speaking is going to be really
Robin,
point
Robin,
on.
Robin, this is Dr. John. I have got to share with him two stories that come from me being at your house. And the first, well, actually, they were both the first night that I was there, and I came there with Maestro. And he was a non-believer, and we had, first of all, we had the most delicious Key West sloppy joes. They were unbelievable. They had a pineapple in them. So I tell you what, that's exactly how you do them. But anyway, we went outside on the front porch, and what happened, Barry, was that there are trees on the left and trees on the right at her house. And the trees on the left started shaking. Now, Barry, I assume you understand that when the wind blows, trees move back and forth. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
They move back and forth because that's the way it has to work when you have wind. But these were shaking. And the trees on the right-hand side, as I'm looking at the road, the ones on the left-hand side are shaking. The ones on the right-hand side are dead calm still. And I looked at Robin and was like, what's going on? She said, well, you said you wanted some activity, so they thought they would basically oblige you. And they did. And it was kind of cool. So anyway, so then I got a little creeped out. And, you know, Barry, I do get creeped out sometimes because I just do. I mean, it's my nature. So I said, Robin, I got to run to the car, and I made Maestro go with me because I didn't want to be messing around out there by myself. Went out there, got my bags, came on in. I said, let's go inside. I said, Robin, come on inside with me. I'd like to chat with you. So I go inside, and she said, well, let's go out on the back porch. And so I'm standing there on the back porch. She has guests, a friend of ours and his daughter, they're upstairs. They'd gone to bed because it was like 10 o'clock, 10:30. And what happened was there was like a pale searchlight kind of going around her backyard. I said, what's that? She said, oh, that's just Brownie. He's just showing you where he is. And now, Barry, I am 1,000% convinced that what I saw was not anything standard. This was paranormal evidence, and that we had Bigfoot.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people that have come to the house that have seen them, and we used to live in Michigan. In fact, our hope and prayer is that we get back there next year because we want to move back home. But when we lived there, I only let certain people come to my home because at that particular spot, they would walk around uncloaked. I mean, not that they couldn't cloak, but they would walk around uncloaked all day, all night. It was, you know, I was outside with them every night at 2 a.m. and I'd go out and sit in the woods with them. And so I was very careful of who I would let go there, but the people that I did allow, all of them had, I mean, that was just common. And that's why Igor Borstov was there all the time. And so when we moved here, I knew we would have some activity because some of the ones from Michigan came here. And so I knew that was going to continue. And we had seen several since we'd been in the state. And it just, it's not the same vibe as the ones in Michigan, but, you know, we still, they're all over the place. Like, they're running across the backyard, and I've got a picture of two of their little kids in the backyard under a tree, you know, that we're walking. And we've had the dogmen here. We've got a werewolf across the driveway. We've had ETs and cat people and portals and UFOs. I have a great video that my son-in-law took of UFO from my porch. MUFON looked at it, said it was a class one sighting. Definitely not terrestrial. You know, these things go on all the time. And I think the longer time goes by, this has gone on with you your whole life, and it's only going to increase. Okay? If the days of ever hoping it was going to let up, that's not going to ever happen. And it was never going to happen anyway. But, you know, this is just part of who you are. This is who your body chemistry is. This is who your energy level is. This is happening. It's going to continue. But I think you're okay with that. I don't get the vibe that you don't want it to. I think you're okay with your past. And there's just an awful lot, you know, that they can do that people don't realize. Shape-shifting is simply one of them.
Mm-hmm.
What I would suggest to you, and when you do go out, take, and you may already do this, I don't know, take random pictures. Don't take a photo of anything specific, just random pictures. Because you're getting followed by a lot more than what you realize, and not just Bigfoots, but you've got ETs that follow you. You have, you know, various cryptids. I think there's a cat person for that really kind of likes you and follows you around. But the thing is when these things are close.
No, that's interesting. You just threw that out. That's interesting. A cat person. When you say that, do you mean like it's an extraterrestrial cat person or a cat person that's like an inorganic being on this planet?
No. Well, they come from, different galaxy, but, I mean, there's some that live on the planet now. I mean, they come and go through the portals. A cat person is actually a hybrid that was created by the ETs. It's a human, feline, and ET. Just like lizard man is a lizard, human, ET. Dog man is canine, human, ET, according to them. Okay? I have not tested DNA. I'm going by strictly what they say. So you have all of these things. Like I have a female, in fact, you find me on Facebook. I'm under Haynes McCray and I will send you pictures of this stuff. If you're on Facebook. But,
all right. Hey, Robin, this is Dr. John. I'm back. I got kicked off. Must have been the government. But what I was going to ask you is, may I send Barry your contact information?
Oh yes, absolutely. Give him all of it. Cause I there's a lot I'd like to talk to him about. You know, I think
sure.
We could share information. You know, we all learn from each other. I mean, it's continually a learning curve. Nobody knows it all. There are no experts. But
absolutely. Oh.
Huh?
Oh no, I was just going to say this is fascinating because you're right. I do have a multitude of cryptids that have always followed me around.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Some of them I cannot explain. You're right about that. A couple of them I cannot explain, especially the one that appeared to look like a Mexican hairless dog, and this was a big one. It was the size of a Great Dane, and it wasn't suffering from mange. It wasn't the chupacabra, the other type, the dog.
No.
This was something else, and it deliberately passed my – sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It just tripped me out a few times, but that's just when you said that, that's one of the things that really comes to my mind.
Well, where
like,
did you see it? You said it came across your window?
No, across a bridge about a half – about three houses away from where I live. Yeah. Yeah, there's a creek there and a bridge I was standing on about 3 a.m. and this thing goes on the other side of the bridge. It's going by in the field. But it stopped. It looked at me. Its eyes were illuminated.
The Bigfoot claim, okay, we already know there's cryptids. Most of the cryptids, not all, but a large portion of cryptids were created by the ETs. We have cryptids the government's created and cut loose. Thank you for that. We have some that were naturally born here, and we have some that the ETs have created. So you've got all these things. This is why you have so many subspecies. Or one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons. The other thing is not all of them are named, okay? And the ETs are the not-so-pleasant ETs, and some of the decent ones are very honest and forthcoming and saying, you haven't seen what all we're going to drop yet. We're still creating. You know, everything's this little test tube. And so I asked the Bigfoots one day, I said, listen, I said, I've got this thing running around my place, and I read energy, and I really, really believe, Barry, if you don't already know it, which you probably already feel it, but you may, whether or not you acknowledge it, you know how to read energy. So, I know you do. And so when you do that, you can look at something and know, get an idea of what you're seeing, if it's something you've seen before, so that you would know the energy signature on it. Like, I can look at a picture and I can pull energy signatures for various cryptids out of it without even seeing them. If they're cloaked, I can still pull it. And this thing, I've seen it physically going down my property line. And it's an unknown cryptid. I have no idea what the hell it is. Like, at the back of it, when it's on all fours, it's at least five and a half feet. You know, it's really bizarre looking. And it reminds me of what people used to say were jackalopes or whatever they were. I mean, it's literally, it moves its legs like a rabbit would, but the ears are excessively long and they sit front forward, but then it's got this long snout thing and the back end's real weird. It's really bizarre. And I watched it cloak. I watched it in physical form go down my property line and then cloak. And I've seen it a couple times, but I don't know what the name is. But anyway, years ago, I asked the Bigfoot, I said, you know, what is this thing called, or what is this thing called? And I said, I don't know what to call it. And they said, we have no name. I said, okay. They contacted me one day and they said, we're going to show you an image, make a drawing of this image. And I said, why? And they said, because you will have to go against it and you need to be ready. And I'm like, okay. So they give me this image of this drawing and I draw this all out. I set it aside for a later date. And I said, what is it called? And they said, some things don't have a name. We call them the Micaiah. And I said, what does a Micaiah mean? And they said, it means ye that walks the earth that has no name. And so for them, with their people, when they have all these weird cryptids that they don't have a name to, they put it under that blanket name Micaiah. But that engulfs all these very different, very, very different cryptids. Mm-hmm. This particular very dangerous and deadly. And he was right. Eventually, somebody contacted me that I knew very well. And it's had sightings of it. And obviously we will see what happens. It's back in Michigan is where it was.
All right.
So I'm anxious to get back there. But there are things that we don't have a name for. I'm sure somebody or whatever created it does. The government, all theirs is listed under letters and numbers. They don't have like an official name. It's all listed under a letter followed by a series of numbers and more letters.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
This takes us into something I've been just dying to ask you, okay? This is where it gets great and it gets heavy because you're the person that's going to know this. Okay. So speaking of this individual, Tom Powell, definitely one that impacted me for the 2 days we interacted. You know, he said something else. One of those things that made me really resonate with and vibrate. It was odd. You know, as we're talking, he says, Sasquatch, they live in trees. And I look at him, I say, you mean like a boreal or on the tops or within the trunks? He said, no, that they can change their molecular biology to merge with
trees. Yeah.
And that they are trees.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times they shapeshift into tree stumps instead of animals. And I've heard that before,
yeah,
and the amount of people that have seen that. But, you know, okay, so this, this took me really down the rabbit hole of, one, I know that their hair, a lot of it, has the ability to, is almost translucent. And I've had one near me that was almost camouflaging itself like that movie Predator. You could see the green coming off of it. It came up in my pictures later. And that was one that was messing with me in the back of that ranch. I think it was a female. And she was large, probably around 14 feet tall, very large. So, I mean, of course, I could not detect her at that time, but she had quite the fun messing with me while I was out there. You know?
It
comes up later.
I've got pictures, Barry, that I'll send you. There's one, two, three different ones And they are green. They're the same color as the foliage, but you can very, very clearly, it's not a blur. You can see facial features. You can see wrinkles. You can see eyes. You can see the nose, the mouth, the hair, all of it. But they're the same color as the brush. And it's because, and I'm not a scientist, you guys, so don't anybody quote me, please. The parts of the hair are hollow, which is why when you go to test it, if you don't have the roots with it, it's very, very difficult to test if they can even do it. I mean, Melba would be the one that would be able to answer that, and I would never try to do anything scientific because that's not a strength I have. But, that you know, they can, and they can literally go clear like that. But they will go into whatever color they're in front of, and Tom Powell is absolutely correct. They can change their body chemistry. All they do is they raise their vibration and their energy level, and it changes every molecule in their body, and they can just blend right into the tree. I have a photo of the one that was out here the night that John was here, and it shook the tree. Her name is Muwaka, and her mate Shandoah have a little boy named Zerky. And Zerky, when he was younger, not as much now. I mean, I think he's still out there, but not like he was. But when he was just a baby, he played in my front yard in those trees all the time. Like, he almost destroyed so many trees, you have no idea. He had tunnels running in and out of the bushes. I mean, he was a riot. But anyway, in this big tree I have in my front yard, I have a photo of him where he had climbed up the tree, which wasn't a surprise because he played in it all the time. And I did not see him. I was taking random pictures. If you really want pictures of them, take random pictures. And if they're cloaked and the camera is not centered on them, they will show up. Okay? And so I took this picture, and he's in the tree, and he's the exact same color of the bark. You can see his long hair almost to the point where it parts at his forehead coming down, and then you see his hand being held over his face. Because they're funny about their faces being taken photos of, but they hate the children's faces to be taken pictures of because they're children. And his whole hand is over his face. Like I said, I'll send these pictures to you. It's no big deal. But you can clearly see his hand. You can count the knuckles. You can count the fingers, all of it. But yet the coloration is all that of the tree.
This would go also to the father's DNA, the star people, you know, because I've done, yeah. I don't mean to interrupt, but I've done a lot of connections between the Sasquatch and also what in Europe they call the Green Man. They're almost the same thing. And when you start involving the tree aspect and what I've heard that their blood also contains chlorophyll, that changes things a lot, doesn't it? I don't know how true that is, but as far as the ability to...
I've not heard that, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Just because I don't know it does not mean it's not true. I know when Melba did the study and I met her and I was there for that, and she's a very, very dear friend. Follow that woman to the ends of the earth. She's as legit as they come. And she never mentioned that. That doesn't mean that that's not true. It just means that if she told me that, I don't recall it. You know, I know I had gotten blood samples. Igor and I actually did, because Brownie had, when we were in Michigan, he had walked up to the house and there was a lot of snow and ice. And I don't know what he stepped on, to be honest with you, but he stepped on something and he cut the bottom of his foot. So as he was walking from the house back into the woods, there was blood in each footstep on the one from the one foot. And Igor wanted to get it tested. And I'm like, okay, back then, I got to be honest with you, I really wasn't into all the DNA stuff. Like, I got hair samples. I got more hair samples. I could have built my own Sasquatch. But, and umpteen billion footprints and stuff. But I really wasn't overly concerned about it because I'd been playing with these guys since I was a little kid. So it wasn't like, you know, I was always out there trying to get research. Igor was the one that really pushed me to get different things. So he wanted to get the blood and have it tested. And I said, I have absolutely no idea how to do this. Like, I don't. And I tried to call Melba, and I couldn't reach her. And so Igor just went outside with the baggie and pushed the ice and the snow in this baggie and then came in and put it in the freezer. And it just was not how you were supposed to do. I can't remember how Melba told me when she called me back. She was like, oh, no, you got to do this and this. And I said, well, that isn't even close to what got done with it. And she said, well, I don't know if it's going to work or not. And it just didn't. He wanted to test it. She wasn't the one that was going to test it. He had a friend of his that was going to try to run it, but it was so compromised, nobody could use it. But, I mean, it was blood. It was in his footprints all the way going to the woods.
Wow.
But
you know what?
Okay. All right. This is Dr. John, and I'm going to take a very short break and say thank you to WLSC, AM, and FM, Loris Conway and Myrtle Beach for having us on your station, and we're so glad to have you. And I was going to ask you folks this. In about 3 minutes, can I let Matt and Kyler ask you some questions? Because what you've done is you've created this marvelous body of knowledge, and I'd like for our co-hosts to get to ask you something. So can I give you about 3 to 4 minutes, and then we'll let our co-hosts ask you some questions? Is that okay?
Absolutely. You know, one other thing I wanted to say, and I'm pretty much done. She's answered pretty much all my questions, and some that I didn't even ask, so we're good. That works for me. Robin,
okay.
You know, I'd experienced something else, and this seems to come up a lot community-wise now since I've been mentioning it. You know, just it's this chanting. I kept hearing this chanting, you know, and out there, and I don't sleep at night, so I'm insomnia. So I would start picking up this chanting normally around 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., and at first I thought I was picking up maybe the tribes that have been on the land out there. But this was a cross between it's a cross between Native American dance, almost powwow music, and a type of Gregorian chant. You know, I've heard now that that's a protective type of prayer that they're doing near human settling. And is that habitation, is that for them or for protection for them or for us?
It's actually used for both. They have different chants for various things. They will cleanse the ground, so to speak, and do a chant like a blessing. They will do a chant as a protection around them. They will do a chant to protect you. Now, they've actually saved my life. Now it's up to 6 times. And I'm a lot of work for them. But I know 3 of those times, one was when I got attacked and got put in intensive care from the Dracos. If it was not for them, I would not be alive. And they did not think I would survive. They said I'd be in intensive care 6 months and 6 months in rehab in the hospital, trying to get my strength up and, you know, do all kinds of things. And I said, okay. I was out of intensive care in 12 hours and home in less than 24. I felt them when they came in. I felt hands be placed on my legs, and I heard the chant. And by the time they got done chanting, I felt like $1 million. I was sitting upright. I was off oxygen. I was breathing on my own. I mean, it was just unbelievable. When I got COVID, I had long-term severe COVID from January until God knows, almost April. But it was the same way. I was in bed. I was wide awake. I heard them outside the window. And then I saw this big dark shape, because they do come in the homes. They do. Not only physically can they, but they can go in through shadow form. They change their body chemistry, and they can just walk through walls. And one had gone into the bathroom, and it was just massive. And then I felt them come in, and then I heard the chanting. And this went on there and then on the outside of my windows as well. And by morning, I was feeling much better. And they've done that 2 or 3 times to me. So they can do that as a healing. It depends on what chant they're doing. They're not all the same. They can do it as a blessing. They can do it as a protection. You know, you can go out on a limb and say, you know, taboo, taboo, it's magic, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. It is what it is. And they can actually do things with that. They do have chants that they've taught me as far as to assist in protecting not only them but other people that I've had to use. I don't use it easily. It's a last resort thing, and it works. So, yeah, I mean, they can do it for them. They used to come up by the house, and where my front door was, probably 20 feet was the woods. And then 20 foot inside of that, they had created this rectangular shape on the ground, and it had all these structures in it, and teepees and all these crazy things, and they would go into it, they would chant, and then they'd go into this teepee and they would just evaporate. They were gone. And they would be gone for an hour or two or whatever, and then they'd come back the same way they left. But they would do the chant. So that chant is pretty powerful, I guess would be the best way to put it, and it can be used for multiple things.
It's very telepathic, too. It's clairaudient to a degree. It's very interesting. I want to say also thank you very much for answering all my questions and for talking with me and for doing this.
It's an honor. It's an honor and a pleasure. I'm always so shocked anybody wants to hear anything I have to say, so I thank you. And I am very sincerely when I say to you, John has my phone number, what my name is on Facebook or whatever. He can give it to you. Contact me anytime. The only thing I ask is if you're going to call me, send me a text so I know it's you so I don't think it's spam and ignore it.
No problem. I have that problem, too. No problem.
It's nothing against anybody. It's just if I don't know the number, I don't answer it always.
Absolutely, and I will certainly be glad to do that. All right, I want to give our co-hosts two questions apiece. I'm going to start with Kyler. Kyler, do you have a question for either of our guests tonight?
Perfect, yes. So I'll ask, let's see. I want these to kind of go in order. I remember, Robin, last time we were talking about, you said something like that I've been contacted before, but I just wasn't aware why I wasn't paying attention or seeing it. So I started to think, all right, well, let's try and remember this. Let's see if I can go back and remember anything that have happened. And actually, as soon as you brought that up, I started thinking, and it reminded me of this time, and this might be something completely different as well. I'm aware that it could be completely not even connected, but I want to just reach out and see if it's possible. So there was this time where it was, I'd say, maybe 4 or 5 in the morning, and I wasn't quite asleep because I was awake, but I couldn't see anything. Like, I opened my eyes, but it was pitch black. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't open my mouth. And I didn't realize it until I had tried to move and tried to speak because I knew I was awake.
Yeah, that's
couldn't
an
see
ET
anything.
Content. That's an ET
okay.
thing.
It was
yep.
so strange because I tried
before.
To – yeah, I tried to open my mouth and say something, but I know I started freaking out a little bit. I was like, okay, I don't know what's happening right now, but I am not in control.
Yeah, but if it starts up again, let me know because I can tell you how to stop it. It can be stopped. I've done it before. And I teach people how to do it all the time. Also, when that happened, you did have a Sasquatch outside that was checking on you to make sure they didn't hurt you. And they didn't hurt you. They were all about you not moving, watching you, looking at you, scanning you. But the Bigfoot is saying that you were not physically hurt. You were scared.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for some reason they may have got him out of there because he said, we did not let him be hurt.
That's amazing. Wow. Okay, that's reassuring. Cool. So other than that, completely off topic. Well, on topic, but different area of discussion. in the past, I've talked to this about my or talked about this with some friends because, you know, when you're in college, there's a lot of push to experience or try to experience something like this with like acid or mushrooms, you know, things like that. So a lot of us did something like that, that we'd be able to see things that you wouldn't be able to see, you know, sober. And I wanted to know maybe
like
if
that.
That's a, that's what I thought. Okay, I wanted to
see,
because that's
what
a lot of
that,
people think.
I know they do. And what happens with that is if anything comes forward at all, generally it's not anything good. But normally what happens is you've already got it in your mind that that's what you want to experience, and then you get these drugs in you, and it just kind of your brain goes that way. And then you get these other, I call them bottom feeders, for lack of a better word. That's not what their name is. It's just what I call them because they make me mad. and they have very little power, but they're just like they nitpick and they nitpick and they nitpick, and they feed off the negative energy, and they like to play games and scare you, because then they just, it's like going to a buffet. If they can create more negative energy, keep you down, they just feed more. And that's what you bring in if you bring in anything.
So like little gremlins, I guess you could call them.
Yeah, and the other thing with that too is when you are mind speaking, and I find people, this happens all the time. When you're mind speaking, if you do not have a clear head, if you are on I don't want to say prescribed medication, because normally you're prescribed medication, you're not high as a kite, okay? But if you're on any type of other recreational drug of any kind and you're mind speaking, for the love of God, do not take what you hear seriously, because you are manipulating it. You're not reading it right. None of these cryptids, none of the ETs, none of the dimensionals, elementals, whatever you want to call them, their ways are not ours. What they say means not the same thing as what it means to us all the time. Okay? Just like when we were talking earlier with Barry about the word elder. In their culture, it means different things. And then then we have people that say, oh, I'm an elder for their clan. No, you're old. They can, instead of saying you're an old man, they say you're the elder, because that's how they regard you. And that's being respectful. That's not being mean or nasty or saying you're feeble. That's being respectful. That is how they do that. But my point is when your mind is not clear, you don't read it right. You don't get the right answers. You think you're reading it right, and you're simply not. There is no there's science to this. The quantum physics plays into it, yes, but it's not really scientific 100%. There's so many rooms for error. There's no book that's going to say, here, the answer to this is this, this, and this. It's trial and error. It's learning your craft. It's knowing what you're doing, knowing how to, read things. It doesn't mean anybody's going to get it 100% of the time correct. And then you have certain ones that will play games with you and tell you what they either think you want to hear, or they'll just tell you something to shut you up, or they'll tell you something wrong just because they think it's funny. So that's where you learn how to read the energy, so you can tell, the energy will tell you, are you being deceived? Are you being manipulated? Are you being lied to? Or are they coming across and being honest? And that's why it's so important to read that energy, which, Barry, that's what you've already started doing. So you're already ahead of the game. So, but when you take any type of drugs like that, your interpretation and what you are getting through mind speak, because it's not audio, there's a multitude of ways you get mind speak, you can get it incorrectly.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that, because not only was I confused, and I'm sure there was a lot of people that may listen to those rumors and take it to heart.
True mind speak does not come like that. You don't need anything to do it. It comes as a feeling. It comes as an emotion. It comes as words. It comes as a letter. It comes as a photo. It comes as a sense of already knowing an entire situation and you don't know why. It could be a video playing in your mind. It could be all of a sudden you're doing something and it's like, okay, why did I think about that? Why am I thinking this? And it's a random thought, feeling, or emotion that is not yours and you don't know where it came from. And then you start following the energy and you can pinpoint where it came from, who it came from, and what's wrong. But in order to do all those things, you have to have a clear head.
Right. Okay. Awesome.
All right. Now, Robin, I've got a small announcement, and then we're going to have Matt ask his questions. But on December 10th, we're having a pop swap, which is a Funko Pop toy swap in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And Kyler is coming up for that. And I was wondering if Kyler and Dr. Trey and I could come down and we could partake in Key West Sloppy Joe's with you and enjoy the time with you at your house, with you and Pat. Do you think we might could work that out?
Yeah, it should be fine. I'm going to have grandkids on and off throughout the month, so just we got to double check dates, but I don't see a problem with it. You guys are welcome.
That would be amazing.
Listen, I like your grandkids. They're great. So we'll see what we can do. And Kyler, that's what we're going to try to do on Sunday, so that you can meet Robin and meet Dr. Trey. So anyway, that's
like
great.
That.
Now Matt Delf, what do you think? Ask your questions.
All right. I just got a couple of statements, basically. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I've just got a couple questions, or not questions, but statements. They was talking about the these Bigfoot Sasquatch. I'm curious, though, are the same ones that mine speak? Well, I guess it is a question. Same ones that mine speak, are they the same, or are they totally different species than, like, the skunk ape from the Everglades and stuff? Because they seem to be more primitive than the
skunk apes are. They are much more uncivilized and more primitive. It's just the lineage there. They all, from what we know, okay, and I base this on the ones that I've spoken with through MindSpeak, the people that I've worked with that have access to these. The skunk apes can still mind speak, but I will say this, they are not, in my opinion, and this isn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings, the skunk apes are not as intelligent as the ones that you're going to find, like your regular traditional North American Bigfoots. They can mind speak. I've spoke to them before. They have a completely different energy feel. They have a completely different attitude. They are much more uncivilized. They are not, it's not that they're aggressive. But, like, picture a frat house with everybody drunk. And that's
right.
Kind of where they're at.
Okay.
They can be dangerous at times because they can get out of hand. I worked with a woman years ago. I didn't really work with her. She was a friend, and I was kind of helping coach her down in Florida. And she and her husband had purchased a lovely home out in the woods because they were retired, and she wanted to spend time out there with the Bigfoots, and she had seen signs of them. And she would go outside every day, and she would talk to them and everything. She knew they were out hanging out in the trees. And I had no idea her grandchildren lived anywhere down there. I was talking to her one day, and I said, oh, my God, who's the little girl with the blonde hair and the bangs? And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, she'd be such and such age. And she said, oh, my gosh, that's my granddaughter. And I said, listen, they're planning to grab your granddaughter. I said, you've got a path that goes from your backyard down around a huge tree and goes back through all this tall grass down there. And she said, I absolutely do. I mowed that path myself with my riding lawnmower. I said, they watch for you. You keep walking down that path with your granddaughter. And she said, I do every morning. I said, one of these days you're coming back without her. Don't go back there anymore with her. They want your granddaughter because they will grab her. And she said, okay. And she took me, you know, she would leave me. And I mean, I gave her a complete description of her granddaughter and everything. And then it was like 2 weeks later, and she said, they're destroying my house out from under me. She said, they're bending the faucets off the house. They're tearing apart the hoses, you know, just acting absolutely wild. And you do have some that are calmer. I mean, you have to understand that these are a type of people. So they're each individual is different. You can't put them in one category and say they're all like that. But my experiences and the people of that I know of that have experienced them with the swamp apes, they are not the same. They are absolutely related. They are a subspecies. They do have paranormal abilities. They can mind speak. Again, depending on the group and the clan is whether or not they're allowed to. But they can get really wild, and they don't have as much of a tolerance for us, and not in an aggressive way. You know, they just are more uncivilized.
Right. Makes sense.
Okay. That's a great answer to a great question. Now, Matt, do you have another question for Robin or for Barry?
I think that pretty much covers covered just about everything. It's great.
Well, that's great. And Kyler, thank you for your question. And I want to say thank you very much to Robin and to Barry for being here tonight.
Dr. John.
Yes, I'm
Dr.
sorry.
John.
Yes.
I had one more. Could you slide one more in?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me for interrupting. Robin, what about the mountain giants? There's like, what, three different types of them, the ones with the horns. You've got the stone giants, and you've got the three-toed ones or whatever. But is there any connection between them and Sasquatch, and what are the mountain giants and just the 411 on that? Sorry, thank you.
I'm going to tell you what limited amount I know on them. What I can do, too, when you and I talk, I have a very, very dear friend of mine that has done all kinds of study on those, and so he can really, really get down to the nitty-gritty for you on that. They are not a regular Sasquatch. Mountain giants, you know, I'm not going to say there might not be some lineage wrapped in there, but they really aren't. You get a lot of the mountain giants, too, that have some trolls mixed into them. From what I've deduced, the couple that I've actually, and they can mind speak again, all these things that have paranormal abilities. And they can be really rough. Like, they don't want to be bothered with us. They have no reason to want to bother us. We're just like a gnat to them. You know, and there's trolls up in there, and I've actually, the trolls at some point have created hybrids with some Sasquatch. Now, I don't think there's a ton of them, but they're out there because I've talked to a couple and I've seen a couple. And it seems to be more the parents of the adults now, where there's a little bit of a mountain giant or a troll cross in there. So if they're able to do the hybridization, that to me says there has to be some kind of lineage in there from the human side that would connect them. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. But they're not the same as an actual Bigfoot, no.
Okay. Well, that's a great answer.
And
so, Robin, thank you very much. And we really appreciate you coming on tonight with ScaryCast Tuesday. We're going to invite you back again, and I hope you'll come back. Cool?
Always. And, Barry, I really am so happy to meet you. I would absolutely love to hear more from you.
Thank you, and you will. And it's been an honor.
Thank you. But, I mean, just to exchange information, like I said, and I've said this a million times, I keep saying it because I believe it with my whole heart. I may have 1,000 experiences, but my experiences don't mean any more than, per se, someone that watched one run across the road. This is a giant puzzle with millions of pieces in it. Nobody has all the million pieces. We need every single piece in it to learn anything. So everybody's stuff is so valid and so important, and that we can all learn. We have to learn from each other, or we're never going to learn. And I think, you know, just from what we've talked about tonight, I think you know an awful lot. I mean, I would be honored to hear more from you about what you do know.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Robin. I really appreciate that. I'm very honored.
Well, I mean it sincerely. John knows me. I don't say it if I don't mean it.
I'll tell you what, Barry. This is not what she says to everybody. No, and Robin, when Robin says something, she means it. So what I'll do is I will get you her phone number, and just call her, text her first, and then call her, and then we can go from there. So I wanted to say thank you to both of our guests,
thank you for doing
Robin
this,
Haynes McCray and Barry Littlejohn. It has been a real honor. I'm going to get back with you guys sooner or later, and we look forward to having you again soon. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me. That was wonderful.
Let me see if I can find the British lady, because we got to have the British lady if we're going to leave the footprint of this wonderful show. Ah, there it is. So anyway, Robin, thank you. Barry, thank you. Tyler,
thank
and
you
Matt.
For
and
I
Matt,
appreciate it, Dr. John.
Thank you for everything. It was wonderful.
And again, Barry, it was wonderful to meet you.
Thank you.
Well,
you
good.
Too,
we're glad you had a great time.
Too,
and so we'll see everybody next week on the one, the only ScaryCast. But now, just got to say something. Next Monday night is my birthday. It's Dr. John's birthday. And I picked one of my favorite guests, which is Sonia Thompson of The Walking Dead. So we're going to have a great time with her. Robin will be there and Tyler will be there. So we'll see everybody next week on ScaryCast.